Here we go.
Who the fuck is that guy? Who the fuck is that?
Lonely.
Oh, I'm sorry. Rough patch.
Yeah, it's gone for the moment.
It's got to turn around at some point, right?
No, it doesn't.
It could get worse, I guess.
Yes. Chick could cut my dick off.
That could happen. I mean, a guy could as well. I mean,
I don't think so, actually. I don't think men would do that to each other. Actually, that's not true. We've had forced castrations for ever.
Welcome to MMA and stuff on halfguarded.com, iTunes, and Google Play. My name is Matt. That's Mike Coughlin, who's concerned about being castrated. I feel like the odds of that are unlikely, so you're probably in the clear as far as that goes.
I bet the odds are greater for me than they are for you.
It's more likely that you'll be castrated than me.
Yeah. I 100% put money on that.
I have no idea what you're up to over there, so I'll take your word for it.
Of the two of us, which one is more likely to be physically assaulted in the streets for who knows any fucking reason at all?
Probably you.
Exactly.
I think I tend to mind my P's and Q's better.
Exactly. I mean, it was like only like a year or two ago when I, maybe it was last year, 2 years ago when I had the infamous moment where I had to take a piss in New York and got called a pedophile and somebody pulled a gun out as I ran down the street because I was pissing in a corner. So yeah, I could have easily been castrated right then and there.
Yeah, if it misfired, yeah. Well, on that note, there were no MMA shows this past weekend, nothing to review as far as that goes, which...
But plenty of violence.
Unfortunately. I really wasn't in the mood to talk about Vegas, but...
But this Saturday in Vegas,
yeah,
it's
more violent. Pretty wild. There's a. Do you think they should have canceled the show? Postponed it.
The last time this happened was 9/11, and they moved the show back like a week or two. I don't think. I mean, it's a different ball game for them as far as canceling shows. I don't know. To me, that's a real weird one because. I'll say this. I think that they made the right decision because if anybody's going to know, it's people like Dana who live in the city, and they'll understand what Vegas itself needs more than I would because Vegas is a weird city. So maybe this is what Vegas likes. Like, hey, fuck it, man. We want a big fight. I don't know if I'd have a big gathering of people, but it's Vegas. The whole town's a gathering of people.
Yeah. I wonder. It's weird because I think people would feel differently if someone else had committed the crime. If it was like more of a terrorist, you know, ISIS sort of, well, depending who you ask, it might be ISIS related, but if it was like truly a terrorist ISIS sort of attack, I think they would have canceled it. But based on just being this one lone crazy white guy, people can more shrug it off and say, oh, it was a isolated thing. It's not going to happen again. We can have the show.
Although, I mean, in fairness, that's true. I mean,
yeah, I mean,
it's not going to happen again. I mean, I've heard a lot of people, and I understand like the whole, oh, when he's a white guy, they call him a lone wolf. When he's brown, they call him a terrorist. It's like, but yeah, because the brown ones who call themselves terrorists, they tend to have buddies who also call themselves terrorists. Now, if this like, if they find out that this guy's friends with the Bundy crew there, is in that fucking area there. You know, if he's like some sort of white nationalist or separatist or whatever, you know, I'm trying to think of what a rich white guy would be. Then I'd be like, oh fuck, we're in a lot of trouble. Those assholes are really upset about the Bureau of Land Management taking away their cattle land. But if not, I mean, although, I mean, I just watched the press conference with the sheriff, and the sheriff of Vegas kind of seemed like he overstepped himself, and he's like, basically saying, no, there's other fucking people involved. This is way too big for one person. I'm like, uh-oh. That's really terrifying.
Well, I think it's more terrifying it's terrifying either way, but to think that just one person could do this anytime is even more disturbing to me for some reason. It's like, it's scary to think that, I mean, anybody anywhere could go to a hotel, bring in some bags with guns, and start shooting out the window. I mean, it could happen anywhere, anytime.
I mean, really, that's like, and I know people kind of say it and it sounds a little trite, but that's like the basic fear of just bad shit could happen. Well, yeah, I know that, like, we see it and all 50 people got killed. Like, that's so horrible. And it is, but in the grand scheme of things, like, your odds of something happening to you are basically the same as if it's 50 people getting shot or if it's one person stabbing you in the middle of the night. Like, you know, from your perspective. So, realistic, and I think, you know, when we look at these things, we go, oh my gosh, is it going to be repeatable? Because we all have the fear of, is it going to be repeated? And again, you know, I mean, look, if you live in Chicago, you're a lot more fearful than if you live in Dubuque, Iowa. Dubuque,
right?
The home of nothing.
Yeah, and I mean, these things are rare, and they seem, I mean, they don't seem, they are terrible, but again, it's not terrible. Well, I'm trying to find the right words, because it is an unusual thing and it is awful. And I mean, it wasn't just the 59 people who died. It was also about like 500 people who got injured. Like, that was some, I mean, it's the worst shooting in U.S. history.
Modern U.S. history. I actually saw somebody point out, don't forget about what we did when we, some of the Indians, like, there's one of them, Battle Bull Run, one of those, like, where we massacred, like, 150 Indians got shot down as we came to take their guns from them. Oops.
Yeah. Anyway,
hey, everybody, you're never going to be able to avoid this story. It's everywhere.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I was going to try and avoid it.
And by the way, wait until the fucking video comes out, because if you're going to commit a crime like this, it's in easily the most videotaped city in America, and one of the most videotaped places in the world. Like, they will, like, their whole, like, how did he get up to his room and nobody noticed him and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, motherfuckers, they will find out and they will know what's going on. They've recorded everything. When you're mobsters with money, you ain't gonna let people get away with shit, except for this guy.
I'm sure they already have the footage. I watched that video with the brother, his brother.
Yeah.
And he was saying there was no way he carried that stuff up. He just gave a bellhop $100 to bring it up to his room for him. It's like,
yeah, I'm
really, you threw all those guns and ammo on a bag and didn't think twice about it. Like, God, this guy has really heavy shirts. Like, what the hell?
Here's the thing, though. If there's any place in the world where if you just give a bellhop a really unusual bag and $100 and they'll just not say anything, it's Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Like, and, like, there's probably a lot of people coming in there and they may talk later and they'll be like, dude, I just brought up like 5 bags of gimp clothes. I don't know what the fuck's going on. And then it turned out to actually be 47 rifles. So, you know, see something, say something, people.
Yeah, that guy's probably feeling kind of guilty if he actually helped him bring that stuff up to the room. Anyway, let's move along here, because I think everybody's heard about it and talked enough about, you know, gun control and shootings and everything else. So, like I said, no big shows this past weekend. Some important news, significant for UFC, came out recently. UFC is now open to all TV deals since the Fox negotiating period has ended. Basically, I think they signed like a 7-year deal with Fox back in 2011, and that contract is coming due. And generally, there's a period where you can only renegotiate with your current partner, in this case, Fox, and that period is over. So they're on the open market now and can presumably negotiate, you know, with any networks, ESPN, ABC, NBC, whatever it might be. And this is a big deal for UFC because they're hoping to, like, increase their rights fees by 4 times. That was the initial goal from WME IMG. So certainly a big deal. I mean, for fans, they probably won't even notice the difference. They're just going to have to find a different channel on the dial. But for UFC, this is kind of a make-or-break deal that's really going to impact the company's future.
Yeah, it's it's kind of like, let's see, they had their first deal in Spike was them paying it, basically. Then they got their first freaking real deal was, I think, about $30 million a year. Then this current one's been $100 million a year or so. And I can't believe it's already up. I remember just thinking, wow, that's going to be along for a long time, like $700 million. Wow, what a huge contract. And, you know, now they're in the catbird seat. They're the only major sports property left for a while. They've got a good platform built in with Fight Pass. I think that they'll run into the problem of this sports bubble seems like it's right there bursting and they might be the first casualty. It's interesting though in the sense of when they were on Spike, I thought, wow, what a perfect marriage they have with Spike. You know, Spike has nothing else and just shows it 24/7. It's great. Then they went to Fox Sports 1. I'm like, I don't know. Then I just realized, like, no, they're on Fox Sports 1 all the fucking time. Like, Fox Sports 1 is barely a channel. And so if they go to ESPN, my instincts would be like, well, you know, I don't know if they're going to get a lot of time. They'd be like, no, they'll just be like the new World Series of Poker. They're just going to run reruns all the time, and it'll probably be okay, and that's probably where they'll end up.
You think ESPN?
I just had to make up something on the spot.
Well, to me, ESPN's weird because they've got a lot of nights and stuff tied up already with, you know, baseball and I don't even know what they have now. I know they have baseball, but do they have football too?
They have some baseball. They have some professional football. Tons of college football. I think that they have basketball. I'm pretty sure. No, that may just be Pure Turner. Anyways, everybody, tune in next week as we go over the fall lineup and what you can expect.
I question the move to ESPN because I don't know if they need the programming. They already have a lot of sports. They're probably tied up a lot on Saturday nights. They've already got these contracts set with these other big time sports franchises where it's like, when would they need UFC?
Yeah. Although, I think that, again, it's kind of, I should shut up and let you talk. I'll go back to that.
It's okay. All I was going to say, timing-wise, like, it's going to be interesting because there's a lot of talk about the dynamics of broadcast television changing, people going to YouTube and Sling and streaming and just younger people just getting rid of cable altogether, just watching Netflix, whatever the kids are doing nowadays. So UFC might just get in the nick of time where they can get a big increase in rights and sign a long-term deal before the bottom comes out.
And I think, again, whatever happens, I think this is it. I feel like nobody else is getting a big deal, and it'll... here's the thing. Maybe it doesn't collapse. Maybe this is a changing market, and things on the... You know, these companies learn to pivot. I see a lot of these companies, they're making plans. They're not totally oblivious to what's going on. You see, you know, CBS just launched... I don't know if they just launched it, but they have their streaming service and they put Star Trek on it, which is a big deal. And maybe UFC goes on Netflix or something. Wouldn't that be crazy?
Yeah, just add to that Netflix.
Although I did see somebody say that Amazon might be one of the prime bidders for it.
Amazon Prime?
Yeah. fuck me.
Oh, that was
good.
Almost clever, if you meant to do it.
I didn't at all. It was.
I know. Sometimes it just falls into your lap like that.
I wish you would.
I know you wrote an article about this recently. Ronda Rousey is actually. It's even funnier on MMA Mania. There's the headline reads, and I don't know if this is done tongue in cheek or on purpose or what, but it says, Ronda Rousey releases new line of taint-free nutritional supplements. What kind of supplements are made with taints?
You know, dick pills in Thailand. If there's ever going to be a part of the body, it works pretty well. I mean.
So she announced in a video where she didn't look really motivated or that interested in making the video that... These supplements are geared specific. Did you watch it?
A little bit.
Yeah, she was not really into it.
I saw it looked like something you do when you're completely, like, at the end. Like, this was, like, the Ronda Rousey equivalent of, like 1980s late night infomercial. Just like, hey, you remember when I was a star? I hate this. Do you want to throw fat away? Buy my pills. Hi, I'm Rhonda. You said hi. Hi, Rhonda. Throw pills. Bye.
So essentially she promised major news regarding the future of her career, and she came out with this line of supplements geared specifically for women. And Rhonda is also the co-owner of this company called Max Effort Muscle. It promises that ingredients used to enhance performance and recovery will not lead to positive drug tests.
Well, it's got to be like, here's $100,000. You just have to read this for 30 seconds and put up one tweet, and that's it. Otherwise, I don't know what the fuck this is. How many women out there are, like, desperate for fucking supplements like that? I mean, unless they're, like, actual, like, women supplements, like, I don't know, like, the one, like, calcium or some shit. Like, that's what it is. Ron Rousey now going to be selling calcium supplements to my mother? Is that what this is? No. This is some horseshit that's going to be next to the Max Fuel or whatever, and nobody's going to buy that. Nobody's going to want, like, think about, especially if you're a dude. And you're buying this shit? You're a dude, right? And you want your workout supplements? Are you going to buy something that's specifically designed for women? You're going to be like, really? I want the thing that's got, like, more estrogen in it or something like that? Fuck that. No one's going to buy that. Nobody wants to, like, look more feminine when they get jacked.
Yeah, Fabio, maybe.
No! Fabio wasn't in there pumping iron going, I really want that fucking lean Paige Van Zandt look. Let's do it! Yeah!
That's more referring to the haircut.
Oh, well, yeah. That's just glorious. That's just, when you're a god, these things just come to you.
Right. She claims that the only reason she got into the company was because, and is promoting this, is because she's part owner and knows what's in the stuff. That's her claim. Yeah. I didn't know she was a chemist on the side.
Well, look, when you get your first medal in the Olympics, they give you a free choice of your correspondence course, and she went with chemistry because she's a twit. I thought about that though, like, and I posted that article and put like a picture of her like selling her body. I'm like, Travis Brown really hit the jackpot for like what he could expect out of life. A super multi-millionaire, attractive blonde chick. That's pretty good for a 6'6" wife beater. That's pretty fucking good. I haven't hit any woman ever, and I don't have a Ronda Rousey.
Huh.
I know. Maybe there's a lesson to be learned here. Just walk on, just punching chicks in the face.
There's no lesson.
Your Honor. No lesson. Your Honor, I thought this would get me laid. It will, son.
I think that was just random. Speaking of
Rhonda. Are you telling me that the universe has no rhyme or reason and none of my choices matter? Are you telling me this is all just one gigantic ride and I'm just a speck of dust in a hurricane of life?
Yes.
Alright, I can't wait for fights.
Rhonda's good friend Shayna Baszler has officially signed with the WWE. Baszler used to fight in the UFC. Her run there was on the disappointing side, to say the least. I think she got beat up by Betch Kohea, if it puts things into perspective. Anyway, Baszler officially announced that she has started at the Performance Center in Florida. She put this on Twitter. And the WWE also put out an article claiming she's on board and training in Orlando. Is it Orlando?
I think so, yeah.
I'm just going to say that.
It's always good, by the way, when you announce to everybody, this is what I'm going to do after you've already been on TV challenging for like one of their women's title thingies for weeks on end. Like this would be like if Brock Lesnar at UFC 100 is like, by the way, everybody, I'm doing MMA from now on. Like, what? Yeah, we got the memo. Shayna Baszler, when those first five or six wrestling matches you had, we picked it up. We weren't like going, huh, I wonder what her next move is. I wonder what she's going to do next week. Oh, look at that, she's doing it again. I wonder if you think she's going to do it again. No, I think she's going to go the stand-up route next. I think she's just testing things. Oh, now we got the official tweet telling us that she's going to, what, keep doing this? Okay, congratulations. Twitter.
Have you seen... Baszler wrestle? No. I've not actually seen her.
No, I keep wanting to like tell myself like, yeah, I should look at that. Then I don't. Like,
yeah,
there's a time when like NXT, they always had like somebody kind of like they would draw me in a little bit. Like, oh, I want to see Nakamura's entrance at least or something like that. I don't know what the fuck they got going on right now. Like, I hear no buzz. I don't feel anything for anything pro wrestling except for just watching pay-per-views for the pure ridiculous spectacle of it all.
Yeah, I watch very, very little wrestling at this point. Unless I hear something's like really good or really bad. Otherwise, I don't watch anything. If anything, I watch older stuff based on what wrestling figures my son's playing with.
See, that sounds awesome. Like, I just saw a match the other day. It was a 5-minute match between the Night Stalker and Sid Vicious.
Oh, that was like the worst match ever in 1990.
Yeah, and it was, you know, it was just a lot of bear hug and like a dumb back suplex or whatever and an axe. But, and it was really stupid, but I'm watching it going, no, I totally get this. This really is theater. What they do now is not theater. It's like we've gone from, Die Hard to Fast and Furious. Like, there's just all this crazy shit. It's just all stunts and spectacles. I think you do see that in pop culture. Damn fucking kids today. It's some bullshit the way they just grow up and they don't want any plot. They ruin porn the same way. It's just all money shot, money shot, money shot. Back in the 70s, they had no fucking cum shot compilation. That would have been bullshit. They made you wait for that stuff. And then when it was time, they just threw a bunch of fucking, like, water all over somebody's face and you didn't know any better because nobody did that shit back then. Fucking kids. I don't know what the fuck that was.
What's your weirdest rant yet?
Yeah, that one kind of took me by surprise, I'll be honest.
Do you think Baszler signing will make it more likely Ronda shows up in WWE and works a match?
Yeah.
Okay, me too.
I'd be willing to bet they're going to have a match for WrestleMania.
Yeah, I mean, Baszler's going to be getting beat up by somebody and Ronda makes a save at some point, right?
Yeah, who would they go with? Who are they trying to give the rub to with Ronda and Baszler? They can kind of make Shayna a star off of someone, an established woman who can carry her. Oh, fuck me. It's got to be Charlotte Flair. Duh.
Well, they did have that confrontation before Horsewomen and
So
other
there you
ones.
Go.
Right.
And Rick will be, he'll get like a 6-month chip at that point.
He does, at least he's still alive. He's doing better. Doesn't look good, though, man.
No.
That took a lot out of him.
Dude, when you're like whatever he is, 60-some-odd years old, live the way he's lived, and he's just now realized he's an alcoholic, like it just dawned on him, fuck me. I think I'm doing too much of this. Like, I've been really, I think the last 40 or 50 years of my life, I've been pushing this a little hard. Huh. He's dead before I'm dead. I know that.
I assume so, since he's got 30-something years on you. Be sad if Ric Flair outlived you. For some people,
I guess. Be sad for you, not for me. I wouldn't know.
Speaking of people who don't know what they're doing, newly crowned UFC
Trump
Women's...
was in the news.
Newly crowned UFC Women's Featherweight Champion Chris Cyborg has been targeting Holly Holm for her first title defense. But Cyborg recently on Twitter said, my meeting with the UFC for next week has been canceled. They want to pay me less to fight Holly Holm than I made to fight Tonya Evinger. So she supposedly had a meeting coming up with UFC about a fight with Holm and isn't even going to take the meeting because they're trying to cut her pay.
I mean, accepting that things are lost in translation often, that's true. If you're going to a meeting to discuss your pay, how do you not go to the meeting because they're trying to discuss your pay? That's the whole fucking point of going there.
It sounds like bad strategy.
Yeah, it really does. Except, gotta keep in mind, Chris Cyborg is a perfect example of we live in Trumpian times. Everything Cyborg's done has been the wrong move, but it's working. She did all these dumb things. She said, no, I won't be in the UFC. No, I'll sign with the Invicta. I'll have Tito Ortiz as my manager. All these things are dumb. And yet, she's the champion making good money in the UFC now. Like, she just fucking up her way to the top. And that's how the world works right now. So whatever she just did, I guarantee you it fucking works. And you know what it'll be? It'll be because WMEI. That's why. They're a new paradigm. Everything's shifted, man. It's far out, dude.
Cyborg received a disclosed base purse of $200,000 with no win bonus for the Avenger fight.
I don't know why what's going on here. Oh, you know what it, oh, fuck me, I know what it is. She got paid for the Avenger fight and now thinks that that's what she should get that paycheck every time, because she probably doesn't understand that she didn't draw shit and it was John Jones drawing. And now they would be like, well, you're not going to have John Jones on top, so you're probably not going to make as much.
How do you think Cyborg vs. Home is like a pay-per-view main event would do? Think anybody buys that? I mean, obviously it's got to do better than like Nunes Shevchenko.
It would be the most purchased women's featherweight fight to headline a pay-per-view ever. Look, we're seeing the shit they're putting out there headlining this year. I mean, fuck me, they've had Amanda Nunes headline like 3 times this year or something. Like,
well, I'm just thinking legitimately at this point so far this year, Cyborg vs. Home could be the second biggest pay-per-view they do this year.
I mean, no.
It could be.
No.
I mean, think about Jones and Cormier.
Yeah.
Is obviously higher. What else was there this year?
No. By the time Cyborg and Home happens.
I'm just saying, if it happened before the end of this year. Yeah. If it was the main event of this next show, I'm just saying it's more successful than most of the pay-per-views they put on.
Yeah, I'm just saying we still have the November show with George St. Pierre.
Right.
So it'll be third biggest of the year. And I think that, that early December, I think it'll probably do about what the Edgar and Holloway fight would do. Maybe a little less, but probably
I'd just be curious to see if she's developed any kind of paying fan base. Because I don't know. It's weird. At a certain point, somebody turns the corner, and it's not like... I think people are intrigued by her because she looks so freaky and beats the shit out of people that there's some intrigue there, and Home has a name, and there'd be that good versus evil, the preacher's daughter, that whole storyline. They could play that up. It might do some business.
Yeah, I think it would, especially given that, when Holly beat Ronda, she entered and it was the Holly-Ronda-Cyborg triangle for a long time. Like, it was everybody talked about Holly and Cyborg fighting at one point. So it's kind of got an air of familiarity. Yeah, I'd watch it.
Would have been nice if Home could have kept winning a couple more fights. It would have been huge if she could have kept the title and defended it a couple times and moved up to fight Cyborg at 145. It would have been huge, but that did not pan out.
No, she sucks. That title's cursed. Maybe it is cursed. Think about it. After Ronda, it's just been a giant curse. Everyone loses with it, or they get sick, or they quit because they have a runny nose. Like, it's crazy.
Did you see that video of Conor McGregor at the club?
Doing coke?
He looked not sober. He looked like he was in no condition to perform that evening.
Yeah, he had crazy coke eyes. Like, that wasn't like... You can act weird like that on alcohol, but your eyes wouldn't get that, like, wide-eyed, like, oh, yeah, man. Like, that was an energy look. That was a look of, like, oh, fuck me, yeah, let's do this shit. So, whatever, it's Europe. They all do cocaine over there and shit. It's like a thing that they do. You just find it.
They all do.
When the state controls you so thoroughly, they look for refuge wherever they can get, or refuse wherever they can get it, too.
He's made news recently, not only for these videos of him like dancing and being sweaty and appearing out of it in these clubs, but he's also done a couple interviews talking about what he's going to do next.
Didn't he do a pay-per-view thingy or something?
I think he did. And
what is going on? He's doing, Conor McGregor's doing pay-per-views in Europe and nobody here knows about them. What the fuck is going on? Who's buying this shit?
I don't know. I know the last one with Ariel was for like five bucks a pop or something. You can buy it, but it was on at a stupid time over here, and nobody's gonna pay for it anyway. But I think there's a certain company that puts these interviews together, and they pay Conor, and they pay like I know Ariel was bitching he never got paid from it or something.
The fucking balls on that man. To fucking everything he does, every other tweet is, I'm so angry that I'm not being treated like a journalist. I'm really upset I didn't get paid a lot of money for this fucking public blowjob over here. Like, holy shit, dude. Fuck.
Probably the most significant quote in this interview was, he said, look, I've got the UFC title to defend, and that means something to me. I will defend that world title. Nate, he's trying to come in here and make all of these demands. If he starts pricing himself,
you sound really good now.
I probably will defend against the person.
No, I mean, like, your microphone sounds way better. Whatever you did is better.
I didn't mean to do anything. I've already gone from the highest of the high in terms of a money fight. Now the question I always get is about defending the belt and legitimizing the sport in the rankings. So he's talking like he doesn't care about the money fight and he wants to defend the belt, which you would assume would be against the number one contender, who we're assuming it's the winner of Ferguson Kevin Lee this weekend. Might be Khabib. Could be Nate. Who knows what that means, but he's kind of talking the talk that true hardcore MMA fans would want to hear.
Yeah, you know, it's Conor. He's a fucking weirdo wild card on this shit sometimes. Like, when he said he wanted to fight Khabib in Russia, I was like, yeah, fuck it, I guess so. And if he, you know, yeah, now he's also like, hey, Holloway, you want to come up and fight again? Yeah, I'll do that. I don't know. Again, he's doing a lot of cocaine right now. So, he may not be reliable. Although, on the other hand, he's going to probably buy a yacht. Never trust a man with a yacht. Trump has a yacht. I don't know if he does, actually. I assume he does. Either way, don't trust a man with a yacht.
In regards to the fight this weekend, he said, we'll see what happens in the fight. I hope they make the walk. I've seen it so many times where they slip on the bleeding soap getting out of the bath. So he's predicting one of them, Kevin Lee or Ferguson, won't actually show up for the fight, which would be...
Did he say this before the shooting?
Yes.
I don't know. Something about, like, the way he said that, like...
I'll slip on the bleeding soap.
Yeah. I mean, again, and it's bleeding. It's a pretty thing, but I'm like, that sounds kind of, like, weird right now, doesn't it?
Yeah. It was pre-Vegas massacre, yes. He also said, I've done the money fight. I've done the pinnacle of a money fight. I fought for the money belt, the WBC money belt, it was called. In my head, I'm very interested in seeing this fight this weekend and to see how the lightweight title picture pans out and to go in and correct the whole situation. That's where my thoughts are.
Hey, you know what? So, it helps build up this fight. Makes, if he, you know, it makes this, puts a little hype in the, I don't know. I was too busy. All I could think of right now is when you said the Vegas massacre. I'm like, yeah, that's a new, we're going to have that name. Then I'm like, why don't we ever have these mass shootings like this in Chicago? And then I'm like, nobody would ever fucking try that here. Like, ever. There'd be so many people with guns who are really good at shooting them while running away that it'd just be a different kind of massacre. It'd be like a 4-day long orgy of violence. And everybody would just be like, that's it. Yeah, no, it's got good food, but I'm just not going back. Fuck that.
On the topic of massacres, Ali Abdelaziz was on the MMA Hour this past week. He said that Anthony Rumble Johnson is going to be meeting with the UFC shortly about a return, but it will likely be at heavyweight. This Rumble Johnson formerly fought at welterweight, where he got choked out by Josh Koscheck, now checking in at somewhere between 206 and 265 pounds for his next fight.
Yeah, you know, if you're going to fail, you might as well fail at a bunch of weight classes. You might as well just fucking go for it. Just always be a bridesmaid everywhere. And just like the typical bridesmaid that never gets to be the bride, you just get fatter and fatter with the years.
He never actually fought at middleweight. He missed middleweight for that fight with Vitor, right?
That's right. No, he may have done some, no. Yeah, that was his only ever attempt at it.
Like, that's the weight class he belongs in. Like, that's where he should be.
Probably.
Like,
the light heavyweight, he's pretty fucking good there.
He is, he's a top five guy at light heavyweight, but like, he's not a huge light heavyweight. You know what I mean? And he looks like...
He looks a little blown up.
Yeah, he looks puffy. But I was going to say, he might, if he had actually made 180, I guess it would have been 186 at the time because it wasn't a title fight, but would he have been in the most weight divisions in UFC history? Or did BJ?
No, because, I mean...
170. Three
got,
for BJ.
BJ's got 70, 55, and 45, but he would have 70, 85, 205, and then he'll have 265.
So that'd be four. But he didn't actually make 185.
Yeah.
It doesn't count.
It's still weird to think, like, you could basically do every single fucking weight class.
I think Diego did four. He did 185, 170, 155, 145.
Oh, yeah, so did Kenny Florian, actually, for that matter. No, Kenny never went to 70.
I don't think he ever fought welterweight, no.
Maybe. Yeah, this is a really dumb conversation. It's a really weird... Actually, I don't know if it is dumb. It's kind of interesting.
I like it.
I give it more credit for the guys doing it today.
How come?
Because there's a lot of people who are really, truly in their weight class now. Like, a lot of these guys, historically, that they moved up and down a lot. Like, Kenny Florian and Diego are cheats. Because they're just shaking out because they didn't have a weight class. And the moment there was 155, they're just like, oh, yeah, we're going to fight there. And they just, that's where they were. And you see, and same with guys going down to 145 and up and down. Whereas, like, you know, Rumble, it's not like, you know, he's done it for weight classes that have always been around. There's always been, you know, 70 and 85 and all that stuff. It's not like he had to go to 170 because he was really 185, but they just went from 170 to 205 and blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, this motherfucker just emaciated himself to 170. Like once or twice. For the most part, he's fighting like 176 every time, but it's pretty impressive. He's just a big fucking dude. It's ridiculous what he was doing before.
No, I agree. It was dumb. But back to Florian. He actually did fight two fights in the UFC at welterweight. He was actually, people forget, and I feel like they sleep on Kenny Florian. He was really fucking good.
Yeah, he was.
But
just got
Alex Karolexis and Kit Cope. He fought
Kit
both
Cope,
those guys.
That's right.
Remember him, the kickboxer guy?
Oh, yeah, he was on MTV. He's kind of been around for a while. I think he did porn or something.
He got busted for roids a couple times, too, I think.
Yeah, and there was like the... It's kind of one of those things where you look at it, you realize this was just a kind of like a guy in the scene in California at the right time, right place. Like, just kind of, like, doing steroids, but obviously wasn't getting, everything out of them, and it was good, but once guys came along in the next generation, just completely faded away.
Fun fact, do you know who Kit Cope was once engaged to?
Gina Carano.
Wow! Impressive. I didn't know that until 10 seconds ago.
Yeah, it was a weird time back then.
Okay. Let's see. So, what do you think of Rumble at heavyweight? You think he'll do anything?
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, okay. The dude can hit real hard no matter what, and all those dudes at heavyweight are old, and they all seem to get dropped real easy these days. So,
yeah.
Plus, it's heavyweight. Like, seriously, I could probably qualify for, like, top 10 of the UFC's heavyweight division right now. It's just a shit division with nobody in it.
You've really packed on some weight.
Dude, anybody could be at 204 pounds, you know, and then put in some weight in your shoes. Weight 210. All right, you're a top 10 heavyweight.
Do you, you don't think he gets out-muscled by those top guys? I just feel like he's too small.
Yeah, but he's never,
not,
nobody ever,
he's a small light heavyweight.
No one ever out-muscled a light heavyweight. Never That's once true. Did he ever, I mean, in fact, he out-muscled people. He just bullied them around. And man, he beat the fuck out of Andrei Arlovski at heavyweight. And that's a real heavyweight. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, like the top, like, something like Stipe, yeah, would probably give him a little bit of problems. But again, there aren't, I mean, Velasquez is a different beast, doesn't matter. He'll beat everyone. But I think a lot of those dudes, like, they're not, they're wrestlers, but they're just kind of mostly big heavy hitters. And he'll be faster. And Fuck, man, I don't know if anybody, even a heavyweight, hits as hard as Rumble. I mean, shit. Mm. So, yeah, again, it's heavyweight. The guys suck. Fucking Andre Arlovski's still, like, a legitimate person at that division. Andre Arlovski fought in the UFC when the UFC wasn't on pay-per-view.
To get into Rumble Johnson's mindset, do you think he has forgotten about his marijuana business and the fact that he quit due to fear of CTE and brain disease?
Well, they do say that marijuana can cause memory loss, so it's possible that, maybe there was a fire and he just got stuck in there and got really high, and like 3 months from now he's gonna come to him and be like, what the fuck did I do? What's going on? Or he's just, more likely, like he looked at this and went, oh, wait a second. I guess, first of all, this isn't as lucrative as I thought, and this work is boring. I thought it'd be really fun to put on a suit and go to the office, but when you gotta do it every fucking day for 8 hours a day, sucks. I'm tired of eating Subway next door because that's the only thing I can find on short notice. Fuck this, let's go punch someone.
Someone who is retiring, we just talked obviously about a guy coming out of retirement after 6 months, is Rafael Nadal. He was career record of 21-9-1. He's only 34, but he's lost his last three fights in the UFC, and he's looking to get out of MMA to get into coaching and training fighters. Well, was it time for him to hang up the boots?
Yeah. You know, when a guy retires and you go, oh, okay, that's the time to retire. Like, when people's reaction to you is, then you're not competing. You shouldn't get beat up for it anyways. And I mean, you've been around for a while. I think he had, like, a steroid bust at one point. I may be making that up. He's journeyman at best. And if you can make some money teaching, you know, he probably lives in Brazil still. If he's got, like, more than 10 grand, he's going to be a fucking king for a year. So go for it, dude.
He essentially said, some circumstances brought me to this. I just opened a huge school in Brazil now and plan to open one here in New York too. I'm coming from three losses in a row and the last two were really bad. Like that sounds pretty well thought out and actually normal thinking that you don't typically get from any fighters anywhere ever.
Yeah, so something's up.
What do you mean?
I don't know. I don't believe that Rafael Nadal is the guy that's going to break the mold and be like, oh, look at that guy. He's playing for the future. He's opening up multiple businesses. He's going to probably be okay. Rafael Nadal, I don't know. You know what? Maybe he is. Maybe he's just smart and he's like, hey, I got my jiu-jitsu school here. I got one there. I'm doing okay. And for a lot of these guys, I don't know, a lot of them, but yeah, no, for all of them, if they wanted to, they could pretty much keep a solid lifestyle by what they would consider good and be fine. Because again, when you grow up in abject fucking poverty, like, if you grew up in super poverty in Brazil, and you live in the suburbs, in like a little, you know, $200,000, $300,000 house, you'd be like, I'm a fucking king. Whereas if you're in America, and you grew up and you think of like being a super athlete, you'd be like, I want my millions of dollars. Although I guess they do have soccer players in Brazil, but nah, that doesn't really count.
Are you excited for the Dream matchup on October 15th in Japan?
October 15th in Dream. Let's see. Krokop?
No. It's a grappling match.
Oh, is the Sakuraba Frank Shamrock one then?
Yeah.
I thought it was in December for some reason. Oh, I know. Because no. Why would you waste this thing in the middle of fucking October?
Well, it's the typical Japanese move. Don't give the other guy any time to train.
Who gives? Well, I mean, it's not like Sakuraba can train. He's 48 years old and can't walk. He's just lucky that Frank Shamrock is. Whatever. They're getting paid, and if the people want to watch it, they can watch it. It's Dream. It doesn't even exist in my world.
Yeah, it's actually Ryzen. It's the name of the company.
There we go.
Dream's been out of business for...
That's right. Yeah. Never mind. Well, what a fucking success story that one was, eh, everybody?
So Sakuraba is 48 and has got his head bashed in a lot in the last decade. And then you've got Frank Shamrock, who hasn't fought since, I think, 2009 when Nick Diaz destroyed him.
Yeah, to put in perspective, I'm pretty sure, in fact, I'm positive that when Wanderlei Silva first beat the shit out of Sakuraba, the war on terror hadn't started. So it's time to just quit, dude. But he won't.
Well, this would have been a big fight in, what, 04?
No, 2000.
That long ago, you think?
Because 2000 was the peak of Sakuraba. That's when he beat Royce and everything. And Frank was still, you know, coming right off of being the greatest in the world at that time. He had all of the sex appeal and everything. And that was Pride pretty much near their peak. I mean, 2004, Sakuraba would have been a big deal, but Frank would have fallen off a little bit. So, yeah, 2000. And I think they were trying to make the fight in 2000, so...
In other upcoming fight news, George Foreman has challenged Steven Seagal to a fight in Las Vegas.
There's a sentence that seems normal these days, yeah.
On Twitter, Foreman sent out a challenge to Seagal saying, I challenge you one-on-one. I use boxing. You can use whatever. 10 rounds in Vegas. Later on, Foreman was interviewed and said, it's my jab that still works. He's also learning to block kicks.
It would be the worst thing to happen to Vegas in years.
Oh.
I don't know what the fuck this is. Fucking George Foreman challenges Steven Seagal. Foreman would kill him. Because Seagal's not a real fighter and they're both really fat, so they're both really fat and go with the former world champion. What are you doing? Just sell your fucking grills and make more money than you ever did before.
Foreman is 68, Seagal is 65.
It's Foreman 60. Wow. I didn't realize they're both that old.
I felt like Foreman was, but I wasn't sure about Seagal.
Seagal seems like it's just an old, fat 40-year-old.
He's seemed that way for 20 years, though.
Yeah, I know. I sort of kind of forget. He's been a joke for a long time. His joke phase of his career far outlasted the cool phase of his career.
I missed the cool phase somehow.
Oh, fuck you. You're a liar if Under Siege wasn't one of the best movies you ever watched as a child.
Was that, to be honest, I don't know if I ever saw it. Was that like a submarine thing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I ever saw that whole movie.
Yeah, he had a bunch of them. Like Under Siege. I think there was like a Down Below. There was the one in the airplane. Like, he had a bunch of them where he's just rescuing people from enclosed spaces.
Yeah, that was a weird time, huh?
Back then when... We beaten the commies and the Arabs weren't mad at us yet.
What else? We've got some upcoming fights announced recently.
Fucking 90s. We beat communism and we invented the internet. We must have just been like, holy fuck, we're the fuck, we're amazing. We're on the greatest track ever. And then whammo, 20 years of shit.
Hasn't been that bad.
Since 9/11, every year has just been one thing after another where you're like, what the fuck? We're either in a war on terror, or we're recovering from a recession, or whatever the fuck we're in right now. Like, everything is just like, you don't look and go, oh yeah, the future, man. I'm inspired. You're going, oh fuck me. I woke up and I can't fucking believe it. Every fucking day. Every fucking day. I think, I swear, just last week, I had the exact same rant. I've had the same joke so many times, where I'm just like, I can't believe it, the world has topped itself. Now he's in an angry fight with black people over football. What the fuck is that? And then, nothing's gonna be weirder than that. Then, blammo, biggest shooting in American history, modern American history. What the fuck? I can't think of anything crazier than that right now. And the moment I say that, we're gonna have like 3 dirty bombs go off in like Omaha or something. Just something fucking weird's coming next week, and I don't know what the fuck it is. And we haven't even hit winter. He hasn't even had to deal with snow yet. I mean, we haven't gone through like the perennial changes with trees or whatever the fuck the annuals, whatever ones that come in the fucking fall are. Like, holy shit.
I'm skeptical that Foreman versus Seagal will happen, but I think these fights will. UFC 218 on December 2nd in Detroit is going to be headlined by Max Holloway versus Frankie Edgar for the featherweight title. No longer interim. It's the real deal now.
I mean, the state of that fucking belt. Think about it. UFC 189, Conor McGregor wins an interim title. UFC 194, Conor McGregor wins the real title. Then after that, he gives up his title, and Jose Aldo wins an interim title. Then Jose Aldo's interim title becomes a real title. The next week, Max Holloway wins an interim title. Then Max Holloway unites the interim title back just now in June. And now we're finally coming up to the first... This is like the first fucking like real title fight they've had that hasn't had two titles in the line in like 3 years or some shit. Fucking hey, this is a disaster. And then Max is gonna probably fucking move up to lightweight and fight Connor. And then we're just gonna be stuck with Carl Lamas versus like the Korean Zombie for the title next. That'd be the only guys left. Because every other guy in the division will have a title somehow.
You don't sound like you like that.
Somebody's going to win win two interim titles before they win an actual title. That's going to happen in my lifetime. That's going to happen in fucking 5 years. Just fucking watch. Just watch.
So that's the headliner. Did you have Edgar next in mind? Do you think he's the next deserving person, or was there somebody else you would have liked to see get the shot?
Frankie's the only guy. The only okay. one, and that's it.
Okay. Also announced for 218 is Justin Gaethje versus Eddie Alvarez, which is an awesome fight. They're probably going to beat the crap out of each other. Somebody's going to get knocked out.
Yeah, the only way it sucks is if Eddie Alvarez decides to be a dick. So let's hope that he doesn't.
He doesn't typically. It was really only that Pettis fight that sucked.
He had more than just the Pettis fight. Was it Barboza or something like that? It wasn't like... great. Like, he's had some grinders.
Yeah, I just feel like the most part, usually you get action out of him. But he does need the win. Who knows? But I don't know if his wrestling's gonna... Like, I've never really seen Gaethje get taken down ever, I don't think.
No, it's just gonna be... We're gonna really see how good Gaethje's chin is, man. Because Eddie can hit hard. Gaethje just doesn't give a fuck. This fight should be awesome. Like, that fight's one of those fights that's so good and basically a guarantee of something so great that you go, okay, yeah, I feel comfortable buying this pay-per-view to see this. This will probably not let me down.
Another fun fight, this one at UFC Fight Night 123 at the Save Mart Center in Fresno. Cub Swanson versus Brian Ortega is going to headline that show.
Yeah, I guess it's probably time for Ortega. Was you say that Sacramento, you said, or something like that?
Fresno. He's actually ranked 7th in the division. I think Cub is 6th now. So kind of an important fight. Obviously the biggest fight of Ortega's career so far.
Yeah, and you know, Cub is kind of in that area where he has to beat a Brian Ortega if he wants to pretend that he's still relevant. And if he can't, you know, it's time to go. So it's a good crossroads fight for Cub. Ortega needs to headline something. Like, I think it's always good to get a guy to headline a small show or two before you try to like push him and all of a sudden just randomly be like, hey everybody, here's Ray Borg. Like, Ray Borg didn't headline no fucking show in Fresno. Maybe he did, but I doubt it. So yeah, you give team money some exposure.
I actually feel like this is almost a backup plan in case something happens to Holloway or Edgar. I'm hoping something happens to Holloway and then they can move Cub or Ortega into the fight with Edgar and make an interim fight.
Fucking
like you
monster.
Were hoping.
You're a monster.
That's my hunch of what'll happen. Then everyone's favorite natural born killer, Carlos Condit, is back officially. He's going to face Neil Magny at UFC 219 on December 30th in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Huh. I feel like Neil Magny's like a black Carlos Condit. He just kind of elbows.
Is that racist?
No, he's just kind of lanky and full of elbows.
I was half kidding. They're similar, but I think Condit wins that fight. I think he's better everywhere, but that's just me.
Well, look, and you lose to fucking Rafael Dos Anjos easily in the first round by submission. Neil Magny's done.
I'm surprised they didn't give Condit a bigger name, though. It's almost like it's being set up as a win and move him on to something bigger after.
It could be someone who's like, look, I want to come back, I want to fight, but I can't be given like a Robbie Lawler.
Right, and that I get, but you know the fight that would be awesome and they would never do it is Cerrone.
Yeah.
Because they're both training out of Jackson Wink or whatever, but although I think that fight would be sick.
I don't know how close they are as far as like training partners go. Because like, I know Cerrone's obviously been there forever, but kind of came and went over the years, and Cerrone doesn't always train. Cerrone would do it. I'm sure probably both would if you really pushed it.
Yeah. I mean, that's borderline like a dream fight.
Yeah, that's UFC on Big Fox main event level.
I'd watch it. It's time for history lesson. We're going to see how much of a nerd you are again. 9 years ago today in MMA, what happened? Today's October 4th, if that helps.
October 4th, 2008?
Correct.
Let's see, October 4th, October of 2008. Anderson Silva defended his championship. And I think that one was Cincinnati again. No, wait. Was that one, or was that Columbus? I always get the one in him and Henderson mixed up. Which one was first? Hold on. October of 2008. I'm thinking October 2007. No, October 2008. Really hope I'm right that it's Anderson Silva. That was I'm wasting a lot of fucking time on this. First one, was that the first one or was it March one, the first one? Fuck it. I'll just stop.
You know what? I got distracted. My son just got up and out of bed and I need to run up and tuck him in. But I'll tell you what it is and then you can share with our listener your memories of this night. Seth Petruzzelli knocked out Kimbo Slice.
For fuck's sake. In a city that no longer exists, Miami, Florida.
Be right back.
When Kimbo was scheduled to fight Ken Shamrock, biggest moment, elite extreme championship history. Not the biggest moment, but a moment they desperately needed. The company was on rocky ground for some reason. I just remember some weird shit happening. They lost momentum, but they still had Kimbo, and Kimbo was still a draw. And Ken was Ken. And they were going to book it. And like 5 hours before the show, like that afternoon, Ken Shamrock got a cut. He got headbutted in an accident while it was just not even training, just kind of like warming up. Just backstage, get breaking a sweat, just pummeling wrestling-wise. Got a cut in his forehead. And everybody's like, what the fuck? I think it was a total freak, but it was Ken. You never can tell. And so they're stuck there with their dick in their hand. Like they got Kimbo in Kimbo's hometown, and a fight was supposed to make him. And they're like, who the fuck do we get to fight him? Frank Shamrock, who was going to be doing commentating that night, or actually did do commentating that night, volunteered to fight him. He said, I'll do it. He saw a storyline, and he probably figured, hey, I got a fucking easy win. And they turned down Frank. Instead, they brought in Seth Petruzzelli. And I'm guessing that deep down, some people will be like, well, you know, Frank wasn't in shape, or we couldn't really use Frank. I'm guessing like Scott Coker was like probably knew in his heart of hearts, oh fuck me, Frank would just beat him. This is gonna look really bad. And so then Seth Petruzzelli came in and knocked him out in 13 fucking seconds because a big fat flabby white boy beats the shit out of the African American gentleman who plays with a terrible stereotype, and we shouldn't encourage it.
To me, it was one of the craziest nights in MMA history, because it's like last minute Frank headbutts somebody, not Frank, Ken headbutts somebody backstage, can't fight Kimbo, like that was weird. Then it's like, do we have Kimbo fight somebody else? What do? We have him fight Petruzzelli, he should be able to beat him. Then there were the rumors that Petruzzelli was paid not to take it to the ground, and he didn't, and knocks Kimbo out in 14 seconds. Then at Elite XC just like folds. They never run another show again, and the company goes out of business. It was crazy. Crazy night.
Yeah, it was just like you watched the complete death of a company. Just in one night, one punch. And the moment it happened, everybody was like, oh, that's it. The company's dead. There's no doubt about it. It was just like, yep, everything's over. We know it. They have nothing left they can come back with. And
what were they on CBS or NBC?
CBS. They're on CBS. They had just had they had some other failures. Like, there was something just wasn't clicking or something. And then this. Maybe they had the feud or loss. No, that's Strikeforce.
Yeah,
it was just a fucking weird night. And the whole, like, did they pay Seth Petruzzelli? You know, in hindsight, like, whoa, like, anybody would really give a fuck what happened in that fight, but maybe someone did that day. But still, like, the fight was 14 seconds. If they did pay him off, they must have just been like, what the fuck? We didn't get our money's worth on that one.
No, not at all. This weekend we've got two shows. We've got Bellator 184, Dantes vs. Caldwell, coming from our favorite spot, Thackerville, Oklahoma, and the Windstar World Casino.
I was going to say Israel.
No,
I just remember when they did that show in Israel, and I was like, yeah, kind of cool.
You do mock the Tel Aviv shows. Anyway, this is for the Bellator bantamweight title. Dantes is defending against Caldwell. Caldwell's always had this rep of having a ton of potential and a guy to watch, and this is his time to shine, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. Is this on Friday night? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, well, maybe I'll catch the replay, or I'll watch the recording of this or something, maybe.
What are you doing on a Friday night?
Oh, U.S. men's soccer team. Big man.
You're doing the whole team?
Yeah. Every one of them.
Wow.
I'm gonna fucking line them up and just like a baby seal at Hungary. I'm just going to go down the line, just one after another.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not a pretty picture. Co-semi-main event, we've got Daniel Strauss versus Emmanuel Sanchez.
I don't care.
How about Pat Curran versus John Teixeira?
No.
How about Joe Taimanglo versus Leandro Higo?
No.
That's the entire show.
I thought Manny fought on this one. Maybe it's next week?
Yeah, Manny. He is. He's fighting Strauss. You said you didn't care.
Oh, man, never mind. I fucking totally just glossed over. I totally was thinking of someone else, a big, fat heavyweight. I'm interested in the outcome of that. I don't know.
Okay.
I'll probably watch it, but only probably.
Okay. Then on Saturday night, we have UFC 216. This is Tony Ferguson versus Kevin Lee for the interim lightweight championship of the world, coming from the T-Mobile Arena. Technically, it says Paradise, Nevada.
Yeah, I've seen that before, too. I don't get that.
Neighbor Las Vegas.
But here's the thing. The T-Mobile Arena is not like it's near Las Vegas. It's in the strip between two fucking hotels.
Yeah, I don't understand that either.
Nice looking arena, too.
So, obviously, we've got the headliner, Ferguson versus Lee. There was some debate whether this should be the true main event. A lot of people thought that it should have been DJ versus Ray Borg for the flyweight title. I know you thought that was the case, right?
Oh, you mean should the fake title headline over the real title? Should the fake title headline over a guy who might set the most impressive record in MMA history?
Yep, that's what I'm asking.
Fucking insane. It's so stupid. And here, I'm actually far more interested in Lee and Ferguson. I think it's better. It's probably make more money. I completely understand those reasons. But if it wasn't for the fact that it's a fucking record-setting title defense, it's just, and I know it doesn't mean shit, and it's Ray Borg, and it's almost a squash match. It's so low, but man, that's the UFC's fault for having such a shit opponent for him, I guess.
Did you see that the UFC is going to donate like $1 million to the Vegas shooting victims?
Yeah, that's more than that gate, I'm sure. Right around it.
Yeah, I always wonder how that sort of thing works. Like, since there's like 500 and something victims, does that mean each one gets like 19 grand? How does that work?
Oh, I hadn't really thought of it that way. I always thought they were just like, we're going to give it, but it's going to be like, you know, to like hospital care and like...
I don't know like what that. It means.
I would guess...
I just saw the headline.
I don't know. Honestly, the first thing I thought when I heard it is, oh, they're going to be buying blood with it. That's how my brain works. Like, oh yeah, I'm gonna give $1 million. Maybe we could buy a lot more blood now.
I think people donate blood usually, don't they?
Yeah, but there's gotta be costs involved.
And
then in my brain, I was like, there's also like some image in my head of like, oh, like when you donate $1 million to help recover. I guess that's because I mix it in with all the hurricane stuff. I'm like, okay, I can still try to rebuild. And I'm like, now that I think about it, I'm like, I only have to really replace like two windows. Like, there's not really a lot to rebuild, so to speak.
Yeah, what I picture was Dana sitting at a desk writing all these checks to all these victims and being like, oh, what happened to this person? Oh, shot in the leg, that's $10,000. Doing it that way until the million's gone.
Oh, you got the injury of the night. Oh, you got a bonus. Look at that one guy in the famous photograph that stood up and gave him the middle finger. Performance of the night. Yes. This shooter gets a finish of the night.
Appropriate. Joe Rogan is also donating his earnings from his Friday night stand-up show as well. So
that's nice.
Yeah, decent people, and I know Rogan probably does really well for each of his stand-up gigs. So seems like if you're a popular stand-up comedian, you can make a lot of fucking money.
Yeah, I think some of those guys at the top make a lot more than we kind of realize. Like, I'd be willing to bet that for one show, Rogan, I bet he takes home at least $50,000, probably $75,000, yeah, more likely. And, you know, that's actually that's a good chunk of change to give to people, especially if you think, like, yeah, he's got a lot of money, but that's still enough money that he knows how much money it is. It's not like he's, right, you know, Conor McGregor could give away $75,000. He wouldn't really understand how much that means to somebody. Joe Rogan still lives in a world where he doesn't look at 100-foot yachts. It's still like, eh, I'm going to go crossbow hunting or something. He's a weirdo.
I'm a Joe Rogan fan, though.
Oh yeah, but he's a weirdo.
I agree, but like he's one of those people that just seems like good people. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, for sure. Like I think he's somebody that has really he's a great example of what weed can do for somebody. Because he's so much like, he really seemed like, and everything I've ever heard is, he was a super intense guy for a long time, and I think he's kind of like got like a lot of that leftover drive that came from not doing drugs, but now he's got like the relaxed attitude of weed, and he's 50, and like everything he wants in life is just kind of going well. And I think he's also in that world of comedy where he has a lot of friends who are incredibly talented, and he knows they're talented, and some of them aren't making a lot of money, but he still sees them every night, so he's kind of in this classless society. It's beautiful.
Who do you like in the Ferguson Lee fight?
I don't know. I've been kind of watching a lot of their fights the past couple days, and you know, when I hear them talk and I just kind of look at them papers, there's part of me is kind of like, I could see Lee with the upset here. Like, he's 24 and he's really athletic and he looked really good. But then I just think, you know, Tony Ferguson's a fucking stud. And, you know, and Lee, I actually saw some interviews with him, and he got a lot of respect for me when he was saying that he's not really impressed with Ferguson and all the roles and everything. And he brought up that he didn't think that it was Ferguson that was innovative so much as he didn't have a grasp on certain fundamental techniques, and he's using this as like a shortcut to get around them. And whether that's true or not, I thought it showed an intelligence in a fighter to kind of start thinking that way and to be appreciating why something's happening. And so for Lee to say that 24 is really cool. But again, I mean, Tony Ferguson's fought the best of the best pretty much and whooped him. And I think he's just got too many tools for him. I think he's just too weird. And he even basically said, like, I think he's going to take me down and choke him out. Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen. I bet it's probably a Darce.
You think Kevin Lee's gonna choke out Ferguson?
No, Ferguson's gonna choke out Kevin Lee.
That would make more sense.
Yeah.
I mean, Kevin Lee does have that rear naked choke. Obviously, that's nothing to mess with. But I think just level of competition, Ferguson's definitely got the better track record. I mean, he's won 9 in a row. Wins against RDA, Rando Venata, Edson Barboza, Josh Thompson, Gleison Tebow. He's beaten a lot of good guys in a row, and his last loss was in 2012 to Michael Johnson. prior to that, he had won six straight. So he's on quite the win streak here.
Yeah, he's an underrated dude, and I think some of that's also that he fights and trains out of San Diego. He's not with a traditional team, or at least he hasn't been for most of his run here. He fights so differently than other guys, and I think he's not part of like the MMA world, so to speak, because he's not an AKA or any of the other gyms where they all kind of know each other. He's kind of off on his own, doing his own thing, and he's got trainers that aren't quite who everybody else knows, and he's just kind of he's a different cat. He's an El Kikui, wherever the fuck that is.
Yeah, it's definitely a step up for Lee. I mean, Lee's biggest career win's that Chiesa win where he won by rear naked choke where Chiesa wasn't quite out yet. But, yeah, I like Ferguson, but I feel like Ferguson sometimes gets a little wild and he can get hit. Lando Venata rocked him a bunch of times in that fight.
Yeah, a jiu-jitsu guy who can barely throw a punch knocked out Kevin Lee.
It's a long time ago.
Not that long about, ago.
Do you know how old Kevin Lee is?
24.
25, yeah.
25. I mean, that's really, I know, that's crazy. He's so young.
Yeah, he was born in 92.
Oh. God damn, he could have been conceived to, no, he couldn't have been conceived to, maybe he could have. No, he could not. He was conceived before, never mind. Just barely.
Oh, the album you mean?
Yeah.
I didn't know what you were talking about.
He was deceived by before, never mind. I'm now speaking without any inflection so as to confuse people when I transition to the next sentence, however.
In the co-main is actually, before we even get into that, the Tony Ferguson and Fabricio Werdum interaction at that little presser
Matty
thing they
Cole,
were doing.
Matty Cole.
Now, there's a lot of debate about what exactly that means, whether it means like bitch or fag.
Oh, it means fag.
Well, it depends on where you're from, I guess, supposedly in Latin America.
No, I only say that because it's the same thing with puta. When they're like, oh, okay. Some people think it means motherfucker. Some people say it means this. I'm like, I think you all know what it fucking means. You try to dance around it, and it's probably one of those things that doesn't have a direct translation in English. Either way,
sure.
If you call someone a bitch or a fag, it's the same general effeminate man, like, your characteristics that are female make you therefore weaker. It's
right.
It's misogynist is what it is.
I understand. I'm not defending such behavior.
Not.
The highlight for me was Ferguson telling Werdum to shut up or I'll ankle pick you. Like, that's like the weirdest like insult comeback threat combination I think I've ever heard in my life, because it's like a wrestling takedown move that, like, wouldn't hurt. Like, it was just bizarre. Like, who says that?
If you keep talking to me, I will use probably the one technique in all of MMA. I will use the most gentle of them all. A takedown where you barely move, and I just kind of trip you. And, like, a three-year-old could do this move. Just grab their foot and pull. Like, that's your big threat? That's a really weird one. Like, I hope that that's how he trash talks to everybody. Like, he's in a club, some guy bumps him. Hey, man, what's up? Fuck you, I'll ankle pick you. It's going to be like, what the fuck?
Guy's like, I'm out of here. I don't want any of that.
He bumps into the guy. What's up, motherfucker? Fuck you. I will fire miscarry your ass. All right? You want this shit? I will fucking sweep that leg. Actually, that sounds kind of cool. I will ride that crotch and just... I'll run the pipe on you, motherfucker. Wrestling's a very gay sport. And I mean homosexual. But like, kind of that old school homosexual. Like when men were just like, overcome. And they would just have sex with each other. And then they would stop. And they were in the closet, and there's some Brokeback Mountain to it. But it was more passionate lovemaking when it did happen. Because it was rare. And they were, and therefore they had to develop their manly traits still. Just, two bears going at it, in every sense of the word. Good days. The best of times. Anyways, yeah. What were we
this
talking
might
about?
Be the weirdest show we've done yet.
It's the best show we've ever done.
Gayest. What else? Oh, the other thing that's great about Verdum giving Ferguson crap, he outweighs Ferguson by 100 pounds. What a douchebag.
And,
by the way,
and he
who does that?
And he went back and forth with his insults, some in Spanish, which Ferguson apparently speaks, and most of them in Portuguese, which he doesn't speak. Which is a really fucking weird way to insult someone. It's like when you, like, you see these assholes and, like, they're trying to, like, communicate in another language, and they think, if I just talk louder, it'll make it, then they'll understand. As if they can't hear you, as opposed to can't understand you. If you go ahead and just insult me in another language, I'll just look at you and be like, yeah, okay. Like, I think that all the time. Whenever I'm on, like, an elevator with two Mexican people, I was going to say Mexican, but that sounds racist for some reason, and they start speaking Spanish, and I just assume that it's about me, because of course I do, I always just tell myself, I don't fucking care. I can't understand you. I don't give a shit about your language.
They're not talking about you anyway.
Fuck, they're not. If I was them, I would be. I mean, I'd be talking about a stranger. I don't know.
Yeah, I did, that whole interaction was bizarre. Like, I don't even get what Verdum was mad about. Like, Ferguson was asking answering one of the reporter's questions, then Verdum interrupted him and just went off. And then at the end, Ferguson's like, I don't even know what that was all about. His manager's Ollie. I'm like, what? Like, he just out of nowhere blames Ollie Abdelaziz for it.
I like
it's
that.
Really weird.
Ollie's reputation in the business is like, oh yeah, fighter did something stupid. Is Ollie the manager? Yeah, that explains it. You know, he just told him to go do something stupid. And unfortunately, Verdum doesn't realize that everything's on the internet and everybody's translating shit now. You gotta play by America's rules. Can't drop the M-bomb, as it were.
I had no idea, but Ali manages like 50 guys in the UFC. There's only like 450 fighters on the roster. He's got over 10% of the UFC roster under his watchful eye.
I'd be willing to bet that 75% of the roster is managed by four or five guys.
That just seemed like a lot for him, considering his rep and everything.
Yeah, but
I was just surprised.
His rep is one thing with us, but he's probably good at smooth talking. He probably does his actual, like, nuts and bolts job every day. That he probably does well enough. And, you know, if you're a fighter, who are you going to represent you? And that guy represents other people, and they're in the UFC. And honestly, if somebody came to me and said, hey, Mike, should I have Ollie represent me or you? I'd be like, I should talk to Ollie. He knows the ins and outs. It's a sad reality. Sometimes the guy who's there just gets to keep going because, like, well, he's already in the system. At least he's better than somebody who's not in the system.
I guess. I just feel like there's going to be somebody out there besides Malky and Ali Abdelaziz.
There probably are. We don't hear about them because they're not douchebags.
That could be true. That could be very true. So we've got the co-main event. Demetrius Johnson is going to try and set the title defense record when he takes on Ray Borg for the flyweight championship of the world. This fight was scheduled a few weeks back, but Borg pulled out due to an illness that he claims was not weight cut related.
But it was.
So it's back on. Johnson's the heavy favorite in this one, and most presume he will set the record and get his 11th consecutive title defense.
Yeah, if Borg could win, they are grown men throwing their fists at each other, but that's pretty much the only thing they have in common. Otherwise, this is a god versus a plebeian here, you know. This is just some nobody. It could be a guy off the street. Mighty Mouse is just that much better than everybody in the entire game.
Would this be like a bigger upset than GSP and Matt Serra?
Yeah.
Bigger upset.
Oh, yeah. For me.
You think?
Well, it wouldn't be on paper, necessarily.
Okay.
Because, like, you know, Sarah was technically unranked and all this stuff. But when I kind of, like, look at them, I think that Mighty Mouse is just far more... He's just been far more dominant at his weight class than George St. Pierre was at that time.
Right.
So, I mean, this to me would be the biggest... This would be one of the biggest upsets ever.
Okay.
Because I just think Mighty Mouse is that fucking good.
Okay. I like DJ as well. He's, like you said, probably the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world right now.
And of all time, I think. I'm really close to that. Yeah, it's just, when I think about him in fights, I don't think of any chance of him losing a second of it. Whereas with every other fighter out there in history, I'm always like, okay, I think it could be the guy this way or try that, or what if you did that with Mighty Mouse? It's just like, I don't know. Hope?
I like John Jones.
Yeah, but I can picture John Jones losing. I've seen John Jones get hurt. You know, I've seen guys fuck him up, and I know it's happened to Mighty Mouse also, but it just doesn't feel like it's happened in so long.
I mean, what do you think, like, are you talking about, like, Gustafson and when Vitor had the armbar?
Like, I'm Gustafson primarily, and a little bit Cormier. But, like, I saw blueprints of how you could beat him.
Right.
And I don't see that at all with Mighty Mouse.
Yeah. I mean, the only real loss he had was the Cruz fight, and that was at 135. Then he had that draw with McCall, which was a weird fight, which McCall could have won if he had stepped on the gas a little more at the end. But since then, Johnson's been pretty much untouchable.
Yeah, I mean, he lost a couple of rounds here and there to John Dodson, but even then, we're kind of like more, in hindsight, it was kind of like we're looking for rounds to give away. And now I'm just like, Mighty Mouse just fucks them all up. And it's just getting easier and easier. We did the Cejudo. What the fuck? Where did that come from? Yeah. Like, oh yeah, he's just going to start knocking out clear-cut number one challengers in 2 minutes. Yeah, what the fuck? Everybody starts doing that in their 10th fight.
Do you think UFC will push this as a big deal if he wins it? No, that's, just because...
They're not pushing it as a big deal before.
I know. I'm just curious, like, because it feels like they're not on the best of terms right now. Mighty Mouse has been talking, saying he's not real happy. Dana's gone back from calling him the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world to saying Connor is, and he said he should have fought TJ and thought it was crazy he didn't. And then he gets this Borg fight, and Borg has to pull out due to this mysterious illness. It's just like, they're not pushing it the way it should be pushed. It's not even the headliner. And part of me feels kind of bad for DJ that this turmoil behind the scenes has happened right now for him.
Yeah, I guess the one saving grace for him is when he sets this record, and he will, it'll be on... At least it's in Vegas on a show that more people will buy than has been happening lately, as opposed to setting it in, like, Edmonton. Like, nobody wants to be like, I set the greatest record of all time in fucking Edmonton before 9,000 people. Like, no, at least in Vegas you'd be like, and, you know, it'll probably be, like, a good show, and it's been tied up with everything here, but I feel like we're kind of, like, in a heightened moment of, oh, everything happens right now is important. And this will be like, remember that time Mighty Mouse set the record? Yeah, that was the weekend, like, right after that dude murdered 50 people. Remember when he murdered 50 people? Yeah, that was like 4 mass shootings ago. That was quaint when we thought that was as high as it would get.
Then we've got that bully Fabricio Werdum taking on the greatest man alive, Derek Lewis, in a heavyweight fight. I was just, while you were talking, I was thinking about Werdum a little more. So he basically goes after lightweight Tony Ferguson. He tries to beat up Coach Edmund, and he wanted to fight Luke Rockhold. Is Werdum like the biggest dick that nobody really recognizes except me?
He might
be an asshole. I'm not sure.
I really want to believe he's an asshole, except I can't believe that Coach Edmund's anything but in the wrong, and anybody that goes up against him is automatically a virtuous man. And so, but he's still, yeah. And plus, Luke Rockhold's a dick. Like,
true.
We're 2 for 2 on people. Like, if you had to pick a couple people in MMA, you'd be like, yeah, Luke Rockhold, I could see being a dick. But Tony Ferguson doesn't seem like a dick. Like, he's certainly not the level of the other two. But I don't know. It really could just be that we all forgot that Werdum was actually fighting on this card, and this kind of reminded us of it.
It's just something about, like, the former heavyweight champion picking on all these guys that are, you know, 170 pounds smaller than him. It's just a little much.
That's why he sucks lately.
Derek Lewis is claiming this is the first time he's ever actually trained like a real MMA fighter. He's watching his diet and been doing more cardio. Does that make you think he's got a chance here against Werdum? Because you know, Verdum's probably the best guy he's ever fought. I mean, he's got the Hunt fight, which he lost, and now he's fighting usually what people would consider an even better fighter in Verdum.
Yeah, I mean, I say that too much. Verdum is better in almost every respect. Lewis just has youth and that incredible power. I'm actually more concerned when I hear a guy say things like, it was the first time I've ever really trained like this in a certain way. When it comes to like this level of fighting, it's one thing when guys are like, you know, I didn't know I needed to be training that hard for world title fights. Like, I didn't know what a 5-round fight would be or something. But, like, dude, you're in the UFC for a while now. You never, like, did cardio? Like, I understand, like, diet is maybe you can let it go, but don't you just want to be in good shape so you don't get beat up? Like, what the fuck? You're in a cage fight and you're going to half-ass it? You're a moron. A lot of guys do it.
Don't say that about Derek.
I think he's going to win. I'm going to pick the upset.
You like Lewis?
Yeah, I'm just going to pick it. He's got those big old hands.
I hope he gets revenge for the little people.
That's right.
I mean, Lewis was, you got to admit, he was running a 6-fight win streak until the Hunt loss, where he claims his back went out or something, and he wasn't right.
He did well with Hunt.
Yeah, at the end though, it was like he couldn't even move.
He took a beat still. He showed a chin there. Problem is, he's got long arms though. He's got a bad body for being on top of somebody like Verdum.
Like you think he could get subbed easy?
Yeah, if they're on the ground at all, he's gonna get armbarred real, real quick.
I think he's smarter than that. I think he would let Verdum get back up.
He would have
if he knocked Verdum down to the ground, he'd back off and let the ref get him back up.
I hope so, because if
see him like jumping into his guard.
No, but guys get anxious. They think they can finish. They get frustrated, whatever it might be. It might only take one shot, like one chance for Verdum. Like it's that far a difference in skill and everything, but. You know, it also only takes one punch from a fucking man monster, who I don't like calling beast because that's racist.
He calls him he's the black beast.
Oh, yeah? Guess what? I'm sorry you didn't learn that black people can call each other certain words and white people can't, all right? That's just a rule.
The UFC calls him the black beast.
And black people can use the N-word and I can't, all right? It's just something I've learned. If he wants to call himself the B word, he can use the B word, but I'm not using the B word.
You're really going soft.
It's all that Lamar Jenkins. I've been listening to Kendrick Lamar. Oops.
Lamar Jenkins. I had no idea what you were talking about.
I wanted to say Run the Jewels, and then I said Lamar. I'm like, Lamar Jenkins? Wait, what?
You're so dumb. Well versed. I think this was supposed to be the Paige Van Zandt versus Jessica I fight, but now there's a women's flyweight fight on the main card. Mara Romero Barella. I'm just going with Barella versus Kalindra Faria. Have you ever heard of either of these ladies?
No. One of them was supposed to fight somebody else on this show.
Let me see if I can figure it out.
And
I forgot all about this. A women's flyweight belt between promotional newcomers Andrea KGB Lee.
There we go.
And Kalindra Faria was expected to be a late addition to this event as it was announced on September 28th. However, a few hours later it was revealed that Lee was pulled from the contest as she didn't go through the USADA testing pool for 6 months. Usually short notice fights do not need to follow such a rule, but since she has failed a drug test in the past, Lee must fulfill the requirement. She was replaced by fellow promotional newcomer Mara Romero Barella.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of weird that they kept this fight on the pay-per-view.
Me too.
But at the same time, my instinct is always, I'll make the pay-per-view as strong as possible, but in a show like this, it's not going to matter, and you might want to give someone like Pearl Gonzalez more of the exposure on big TV.
Yes, the prelims are on FXX this time. So.
No, they're FX.
Mm.
I already set the recording for it.
Huh.
Yeah, they're bouncing around. Oh, it's because baseball's on FS2. Does it say FXX?
Yeah, mine. My Wikipedia I'm using here says FXX, but some jerk could have entered it wrong. Can't trust these.
Yeah, I just got an FX 267. So yeah.
Okay. Either way. Then the opener on the main card is Benal Dariush versus Evan Dunham, lightweight fight.
That's a good fight. I think Dunham wins, but it's a good fight.
Prelims, we've got Tom Duquesnoy, who's a name. I think he was a Bama champ at one point. He's from France. He's 24. Kind of a hot prospect that not a lot of people know yet. He is facing Cody Stamen. We've also got...
Cody Stamen or Stamen sounds like a porn name. Really, anybody named Cody sounds like they're in porn.
Huh.
Like they're just a gay porn actor. No hair on their body, blonde hair, parted down the middle, very, very pretty boy. They have cleanly shaven face as well, very muscular.
Huh.
That's Cody. He's a gay porn star. He's only gay for play. He's really, really stupid, too.
Okay.
He's good looking. He's pretty.
What do you think about Will Brooks versus Nick Lentz?
It's a Nick Lentz fight. It's going to be awesome.
The Carney.
I can't fucking wait. I only wish that he could get an... Please, somebody make sure Nick Lentz gets a fucking microphone after this. I want to hear Nick Lentz's opinions on the shooting.
He's got a... Let's find out right now. I'm going to check on Twitter, because he likes to put some real right-wing stuff out there.
Oh, man, I'm reading this shit every
day. Oh, he's got a meme up. Oh, that's an old one. Yeah. Let's see.
I'm seeing the crazy shit coming everywhere on this one too. Crazy rights, crazy lefts, with the conspiracy things. I'm like, whoa, okay, guys. Like, I don't know. I think the idea that this was all a fucking undercover sting operation to sell guns to terrorists and it went wrong. I think that's a plot in a movie more than it is, real life. But it sure would be cool if it was.
I'm not a conspiracy guy at all. Like, I think it was just some crazy guy who shot a bunch of people.
It's very easy to believe that he's just a 60-year-old rich dude with the means, and he's just kind of crazy and just got a bunch of guns and shot people. Like, it's not like this is a real complicated plan. Like, I'm seeing, like, oh, it'd be really difficult to shoot people from that far away and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, it's a fucking crowd of people, and he's just shooting at them. It's not like he was looking for a specific person. He wasn't trying to only hit him in the head. He was trying to just hit whatever he could. Because he's a crazy person. And he's dead now.
He is not pro... let's see... He doesn't. It's hard to figure out what Nick Lentz wants.
I bet he hates GMOs. He seems like that type. And vaccines.
He's definitely pro Second Amendment. He doesn't want to hear people talking about gun control right now. He's one of those that's too soon to talk about gun control losers. He retweeted a thing that says the Las Vegas shooter's psychopathic father was on the FBI's most wanted list.
Yeah, that's true. I read about that. Then he's on the run for 10 fucking years, which is kind of cool. Like, that's going to be a problem with this whole story. There are enough details to kind of trickle out here and there. Like, I was hearing, like, he had cameras on a table outside of his room to look at people and spy on them, and he could see where the cops are coming. I'm like, keep this up, he's going to sound like a folk hero real quick. Because that sounds like some fucking diehard stuff. And people get drawn into that real, real easy, and they lose sight of shit. That's why Marilyn Manson's got followers.
Okay, so he put Nick Lentz, we're talking about here. We're really going in-depth on Nick Lentz. He basically put up a link from his Instagram on his Twitter. So he wrote on Instagram, because this is important, we got to get the facts right. Some people say prayer doesn't fix anything. Well, they are wrong, in all caps, double exclamation point. God gave us free will, and with that we make a mess out of things. But know that nothing is bigger than Jesus. Pray for Vegas.
Seriously, sweet baby Jesus in heaven, you can't argue both prayer works and free will. You get one or the fucking other. And I struggle with this. I've gone all back and forth this one, and it led me to the conclusion of free will means more, and you can't undo it. So, shut the fuck up, Nick Lentz. I'm kind of sad that you didn't get the fight with BJ.
That would have been good. I like the poems he was writing there for a while. Anyway, yeah, I
that's right. He also supports gay marriage. Yeah.
No offense to Will Brooks, but I would like to see Nick Lentz win because he seems like a crazy person who I would like to see around more. Will Brooks is just kind of normal. Who wants that nowadays? In another lightweight fight, we've got Bobby Green versus Lando Vannata, and opening the FX, possibly FXX prelim card, we've got Pearl Gonzalez versus Pollyanna Botello.
Hey, both those fights are stronger than usual from what I see on an undercard of a pay-per-view. Pearl's got nice breasts, and Lando Vannata's crazy, dude. He's fucking awesome. Yes. He's a folk hero.
And a Vannata is fun to watch, no doubt. On the fight pass, decent flyweight fight with Moraga versus Beagle Latov.
Yeah, that's
that was the thing. That was the thing. I don't even get it. I only get it on demand with like Simpsons repeats and Archer.
I know I get
it's really
it,
weird,
but
you do get it. I watched it on your thing.
Oh, there it is.
Watched it on your thing.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody watches.
So good with words.
You can watch
stuff.
A lot on it. On my thing, you can watch a lot. You can watch a feature. You can watch a big long film. There was a movie. There's something called The Perfect Guy on Saturday on FXX.
Huh.
A California lobbyist, Sana Latham, must turn the tables on her ex-beau, Michael Ealy, when he becomes a violent stalker. What the fuck? What are they using the word beau for? Really stupid.
What would you prefer, boyfriend?
Yeah.
Lover?
Consort.
Significant other?
Fuck, I don't buddy.
Know. Were they out? Did they have a certain number of characters they could use for the description,
probably,
perhaps?
But Bo just sounds stupid.
Okay.
Ex-love.
Mm. Telus Leitis versus Brad Tavares and Matt Schnell versus Marco Beltran will open the card.
See, Brad Tavares, he gets him mixed in with Rafael Natal, and for a long time in my brain, Robert Whittaker, it's just like they were all like the same dude. And actually, Talos Latus could kind of be thrown in there, too. And then somehow, Robert Whittaker slowly but surely became a really, really great fighter. I kept looking at it and, like, rethinking things. I'm like, that's really, really fucking good what he's been doing here.
It's pretty freaking impressive. I don't know. I don't know if there's... You question it because... Can he maintain it? It's only been a few fights, but, you know, beating Jacare and... Yoel Romero is no easy task, especially when you're really a welterweight. Like, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there seems to be something, I hate saying it because it's the Rogan cliche, but guys moving up in weight, I don't know, maybe there is something to it. I'll bask
yeah,
on
yeah,
this
yeah.
one all the time.
It depends on the guy and the weight class, obviously. There's something for being too depleted and too weak and too dehydrated, and it doesn't help, but you can only move up so much or you're going to get out-muscled and thrown around. It's just trying to find that sweet spot. Would you rather be depleted or have to fight a little bit bigger guys?
I also wonder if there's something as far as when you go down in a lower weight class, you won't have to worry about anything physical as far as when you're in a fight, so you can develop your technique and rely on that more. And then when you get to a certain level of technique, you realize, okay, I can move up in weight, and while I'll be a little smaller, I'll have all this speed and technique, and you can bridge the divide easier while not banging up your body as much.
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing it more and more with guys, you know, your Cerrones and your Masvidals, your Poiriers. These guys moving up and being successful when years ago you would have thought it was a death sentence.
Yeah, we'll have to investigate this further.
Sounds like Scooby-Doo. What other things are going on? So that's all I got for MMA. You want to do a little stuff here?
Yeah.
Okay. So we talked enough about Vegas, but we should get to the other bad news. At least I took it as kind of bad news. I don't know. Were you a Tom Petty fan?
Oh, I was like, what the fuck did I forget about now? No, the whole Tom Petty thing, like, I don't, like, hate the guy or anything like that. Like, I know, like, I've heard songs.
I don't know if I've ever heard anybody say, I fucking hate that Tom Petty motherfucker.
That's just kind of, like, he's just kind of there, and I'm kind of, like, I don't know, when I see him as this big star, and he has been a big star, but I've never really, like, listened to his music and thought, yeah, that's big rock and roll music. But he's just kind of there. I don't know. Like, he always looked like he was dying.
Somebody was saying something. He was only popular because he was good looking. I'm like, Tom Petty was good looking? I'm like, I missed that. Yeah, like, they were saying, like, he was a pretty boy. He was in, like, the Traveling Wilburys, and they were, like, a boy band at the time. Like, I'm like, what?
I always thought he was like a stoner dude.
So did I. And I always thought he kind of had a Crypt Keeper look going.
Yeah, I always thought he looked like he had AIDS. Maybe
a long run. Well, they're saying it was a heart attack, heart failure. Anyway, yeah. I like some of Tom Petty's music. I mean, I'm not like a huge fan, but he had some good songs over the years. Old Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
He seems like one of those artists that would fit into the. If I had his greatest hit CD, it'd be awesome. But if I listened to like his whole catalog, I'd be like, eh.
Hang on a second.
And so it would be just be an interesting dynamic for me to sit here and talk, just freewheeling it. I got nothing to say. Matt goes and tucks the child into bed. Kid doesn't really know what's going on. Maybe kid shit himself. Lord knows I have. That one time. Yesterday. I had to do it. It's the only way I could sit by myself on the train. A man's got to do what a man's got to do. I wanted to be able to stretch out my legs. Small price to pay. But I persevered, and I overcame. You'll never know what I said.
I'm going to listen. find this one part of the show and find it. Where are we, an hour 41 in? I'll find it.
I'm going to move it to another part of the show.
Well, that sounds like more work than you like to put in.
There's a big flaw in the plan, yes.
Yeah, my wife's not. She's out tonight. She went out with some friends and.
Oh, you are whipped.
What? Yeah, you better stay home every single night, or else.
Damn right. What are you? You're letting the woman go out and have a night out, and you're staying at home with the watching the kids. You think Don Draper will put up with that shit?
I like that you give marriage advice. Anyway.
Those who can do, those that can't teach.
He started preschool, and since he started preschool, he's not sleeping good at night. Like, I think he's nervous or, like, whatever about going. So he keeps waking up in the night and comes downstairs and scares the shit out of us every day. It's awesome. Like, he'll be there in your face and be like, hey. It's like, what's up,
creepy.
Buddy?
Yeah, it's weird. Like, my friend Meg's kid, the only kid I really know in life. When they got moved into their new home last year, every once in a while, like, she would hear noise from his bedroom at, like, 2 a.m, and she'd walk in there, and he'd be, like, he'd just be sleeping, but sometimes he'd be, like, standing up in the bed, but sleeping, and I'm like, oh, if I fucking saw that, I would probably set my child on fire. That is the creepiest fucking thing you could ever walk into. Just holy shit.
Yeah, neither of them have ever done anything quite like that, but when he, like, wakes up in the middle of the night, he's definitely not behaving like he normally does. He'll, like, yell and scream at you and stuff, but I think he went back down. They are, but, like, adults sleepwalk and do weird shit in their sleep. You hear about, you know, people committing crimes while they're half asleep. That might be a bullshit defense.
No, it's,
but you hear about
it's legitimate defense.
Good to know.
I've read a lot about somnolence limits as a defense. I don't know why, but it's one of those things where so many people ask about it that I just started reading just to make sure I knew what the fuck was going on. Actual law work, I'll probably fail at somebody, but if you ever kill someone while sleepwalking, I could probably easily get you off.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind. I'll message you on Facebook from jail.
There you go.
So yeah, Tom Petty is no longer with us. R.I.P. Is there any irony in the guy from Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers dying of a heart attack?
No, there's just wordplay.
Wordplay. All right. I don't know the difference between wordplay and irony.
Did you watch the whole 33-minute video of that guy's brother?
I did.
Oh, yeah. One of my favorite parts was when somebody's asking someone about the word, and she said, like, do you think it's ironic? And he wanted to correct her on the use of irony, but then stopped himself. I'm like, oh, dude, I totally identify with you right now. Like, your friend would be like, well, that's not the right word for ironic. Just damn it. What a hero he might be. Or a crazy psycho. Ooh, I'm so excited.
Yeah, I don't have a good feeling about how his life's going to go after this, but who knows? Maybe it'll be okay. Shane McMahon made some news this week again. He was last in the news when he was in a helicopter that crashed and he managed to survive somehow.
It sounds like a wrestling storyline. I was like, did they have him on SmackDown?
The headline, it's funny because, like, obviously we know Shane McMahon from wrestling and falling off cages and leaving the WWE because Stephanie was going to run it and he wasn't, and then coming back because he had some failed company in China or whatever. So just the way these articles are written, I'm reading this directly from Newsweek. The son of a top White House official invested big time in a drug company, and he's getting busted for it. The New York Daily News reported Monday that Shane McMahon, whose mother is the administrator of President Donald Trump's Small Business Administration, gave $500,000 to EnviroGrow in 2015. The young company sells high-tech modular units that optimize the growing process to people in states where marijuana has been legalized. McMahon is now suing the startup, saying the owners misled him about how successful they were. But his involvement is also making headlines because of his mom's political position. As a government official, she's expected to follow federal rules, one of which is that marijuana is illicit under federal law. While EnviroGrow targets the more than two dozen states that have passed laws allowing the use of marijuana for medicinal or recreational purposes, it's still not a good look given Trump's stance on legalization.
Yeah, that's, I mean, when I first of all, that article, it's still missing things. If you go through the whole fucking thing, you don't ever mention pro wrestling. Like, seriously? Like, that's kind of a big miss. Adding, like, it's problematic. Like, I can understand where the angle comes from. I guess when you think of, like, I don't think she's a cabinet-level individual, but somebody, like, yeah, if it was, like, the Secretary of Defense's kid was investing in a marijuana business, you'd be like, wait, hold on a second. That's pretty fucking weird. Like, if Sarah Huckabee Sanders was actually just investing in the weed business instead of whatever she did, you know, instead of lying for the president, I was going to say being Lenny Riefenstahler. That's a little hack. Yeah, I guess it'd be kind of news, but this is fucking McMahon. Who gives a fuck? It's just kind of, yeah, I guess it's weird to think when these current... No, it's not weird. It's fucking Donald Trump. Of course one of his fucking cabinet members' kids is fucking investing in weed. Doesn't that sound exactly like Donald Trump? Like, oh, yeah, I'm friends with the guy. Yeah, and his kid's selling weed now. Huh, tough times. Yeah, yeah, that's how it is here for the Trumps in white-collar land.
I read something that Shane McMahon visited. He went to visit this place after he invested, and it was like an empty warehouse with nothing in it. Did you see that part of the story?
No, I didn't, but it's perfect.
Yeah, it was like, it didn't even have a floor, like it was a dirt floor or something I read. Like, it was ridiculous how it sounded. Like, he's like, oh, I'm going to come over to wherever they are, Colorado, and check out the facilities. And they're like, And then he shows up and there's nothing there. There's like a huge warehouse with a dirt floor and like one conveyor belt or something.
Did he, like, look at, like, one side of the wall, and there was, like, a mural that they had painted with to make it look like there's workers and everything? They kept taking pictures that way? It's like an episode of The Simpsons.
A little bit. But anyway, that's what's going on with Shane and Linda this week. I don't know if we ever talked about it here on MMA and stuff, but I know we did, Making a Murderer, the Netflix series about Stephen Avery and, you know, him going to jail and getting arrested and, you know, getting out and getting arrested and going to jail again. Judge Tuesday in, I had never heard of Manitowoc before in this show, but now I feel like I'm an expert on this area of Wisconsin. A judge Tuesday denied a motion for a new trial, for Avery. Sheboygan County Judge Angela Sutkowisk, who is overseeing the case, filed a 6-page decision in Manitowoc County Court, writing that Avery had not met the standard to get a new trial. He had been convicted of the 05 murder of photographer Teresa Halbach. Avery's lawyer vowed Tuesday to keep fighting for a new trial. Both Avery and his nephew, Brand... What are you doing over there?
The dog has a toy.
Oh. I don't get my dog toys because I hate her. Both Avery and his nephew, Brandon Dassey, were convicted in 07 in connection with the murder of the 25-year-old photographer from St. John, Wisconsin. The men have maintained their innocence, and the full 7th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals heard Dassey's case last week. I forget what happened with Dassey. I'm going to have to go down. Should Stephen Avery get another case, I guess, is what I'm asking.
I'm pretty sure that the nephew did get something new, like someone was thrown out. That's a while ago, I thought. As far as Mr. Avery, I would think that probably not. You know, when I first saw the show, you go, oh, my gosh, it does seem like this crazy railroading and all that. But when I read some of those other articles that came out afterwards, and I was just so appalled by the dishonesty of the filmmakers, where they left out really, really key things that completely changed the tenor of the investigation. Like, all of a sudden, I'm like, all right, this is a lot. There's a lot more evidence against Avery than they led us to believe, and certainly enough that I think that the conviction is probably, it's feasible. And when it comes to, like, you know, ordering a new trial, basically the standard has to be that, you know, you can really never seem to be coming to that conclusion based on the evidence. And I'm guessing there's enough evidence you go, no, I think a jury could do that. Because otherwise, you know, that's basically the biggest thing. That's it. That would be the biggest possible move any court could ever make, would be to override a guilty verdict on a murder charge. Like, that is deciding literal life and death over the objections of 12 people. That's a big fucking deal. Like, as a society, we really don't want that. Because if we have that, then there's no point in having a jury.
Like, watching the documentary, I didn't get the feeling like Stephen Avery was some good person. I didn't feel like he was Joe Rogan by any stretch. But it was weird because he went to jail for like over a decade and he was innocent. Like, he was charged with raping some woman down by a lake and he didn't do it. They found the guy with DNA evidence years later and he got out of jail. Then he's going to go and murder somebody a couple years later when he got out of jail. Like, I just didn't, it just seemed weird and fishy. And
he's also a guy that's so dumb that he got out of jail for on murder, was going to get tens of millions of dollars, and then went back to the same fucking location.
Yeah.
All he had to do, he would be, pretend he was framed, all he would have had to do is just not go back to the place where he'd been framed the first time.
I feel like he's on, what's that? On the spectrum. Oh. On the spectrum, you know what I mean? He's not...
I think he's just stupid.
That too.
The nephew's on the spectrum. I think he's just... We throw the spectrum thing around. No, there's just fucking morons in the world. Like, stupid still exists out there. We should not discount the incredible power of stupid.
Right. I hear you. Yeah. I hear you. Maybe Stephen Avery's just stupid. You could be 100% correct. So I guess, how does that work? How many times can you try and get another trial?
I mean... You can try forever.
Okay.
All you have to really, I mean, all you ever have to do is essentially show, look, there's crazy new evidence that came out. And that's it. Because if there's new evidence that comes to light, the judges will always go, oh, okay, there's new evidence, we'll hear it. If there isn't new evidence, that's when they go, in light of there being no new evidence, the prior decision holds, and that's pretty much what the courts are doing here. But if there's new evidence, like if there was something where somebody goes, look, we actually improved our DNA, and it turns out he's this weird person who's got the identical DNA with this guy right across town, and he actually did it, and he confessed. You'd be like, I guess you get to go free. We're not going to just hold you to that one before. Sorry.
I mean, Avery's attorney is saying, we are filing an amended petition because we have additional test results and witness affidavits. The scientific testing is not completed. We remain optimistic that Mr. Avery's conviction will be vacated.
Yeah, well,
I think that's weird about it. It's like you, when you hear about like DNA testing, you picture something from like the 70s or 60s where like it didn't really exist. But this happened in 05. It's not like it's ancient history where they've got all this new DNA evidence. It's DNA is the same in 05 as it is in 17, right?
Yeah, I mean, they could be saying that they have new physical evidence to run a test for DNA on, or something. Or they could say there was something inconclusive before. Who knows? Look, it's their money. You know, if some lawyer, you know, honestly, that's kind of what really stops these things from being a million appeals is, at a certain point, a lawyer's just not going to do it. He's just going to go, I'm not going to waste my fucking money. Like, eventually you get to the point where even some lawyer's going to go, no, I'm not doing this for $200. This isn't even worth $200. So, and then you're just stuck with the court, with the jailhouse lawyer, which is my one saving grace in life if I ever go to jail.
His attorney apparently filed a 1,000-page motion seeking a new trial. Does that sound like overkill?
It sounds like a stunt.
Can you imagine having to read that?
No, nobody read it. Nobody fucking read it.
Why would you bother spending...
Well, what it really was is like... It was really like 10 pages of writing and then 1,000 pages of exhibits and like, here's this report. In this corner, it had like a 100-page report and that one had a 200-page report. And then everybody just goes, okay, of these 1,000 pages... Yeah, we all agree. There's about 12 pages here that we really care about. We're just going to read. Oh, there's a summary. Anybody disagree about the summary? No? Oh, okay.
One more question on this. As an attorney, like, you're not taking this case to make any money. Obviously, you're taking it to get your name in the headlines because you can assume that Avery has no money left at this point. I think he sued the state for his first false conviction and got a lot of money, but that money's probably dried up now with all these trials and retrials and his family being a bunch of weirdos pissing it all away, I would guess. So her only advantage in getting this case, she needs to get this case to trial or she just wasted all her time, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, there are different types of people that do these cases. There are your Innocence Project types who are just young, naive do-gooders. And they just care about making the world a better place. They don't last very long in life.
Idiots.
Yeah. But, I mean, again, if you think that there might be something there, it's worth an investment for an attorney because a wrongful conviction, as we saw in the first case, can result in tens of millions of dollars and you get a third of that. That's a pretty good deal. Mm. And that's why, however, when you see that an attorney won't even, like, take a flyer on something with the chance of making tens of millions of dollars, that's how you kind of know how many people who just study the law for a living, you need to look at your evidence before, even if you're innocent, you just have to go, well, I'm innocent, but there's nothing that proves it. Sucks to be me. My nephew can watch WrestleMania.
Sounds like Tom Lawler. All right. Let's see. Oh, this was a good story. I like this one. We're going to stay with the police and arrest theme here. Police in Montana say a man told friends he needed help moving and got their unwitting help stealing $40,000 worth of items from another man's home.
I feel like I've heard about this scam before.
It's pretty good. This is just recently in Montana, so like 3 days ago. One of the friends allegedly rented a U-Haul truck without knowing it would be used in a crime. The other told police he became suspicious and left after he saw military medals in the Great Falls home. He doubted 36-year-old Patrick Joseph Adams Jr. served in the military. Investigators say the true homeowner came home later that night, found his home had been burglarized, and called 911.
What the f- You didn't serve in Vietnam. And this is Purple Heart bullshit.
So
you,
yeah,
you
one
cried
guy
during dodgeball.
One guy left and decided not to help, but the other guys continued. Prosecutors charged Adams on Thursday with a burglary and criminal mischief, both felonies. The Great Falls Tribune reports Adams faces up to 30 years in prison and $100,000 in fines.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, I, criminal mischief is one of my favorite crimes. I just love the idea that mischief is a crime. Like, what are you in jail for? Mischief? What'd you do? Something mischievous? It's really special. What about you? I raped and murdered and ate somebody. Oh, well, I also got a second charge of naughty. I was mischievous and naughty. You want to see what I can do for an encore?
Yeah, I can.
This is
it's
a
pretty
show.
Good. But that's a good trick. You're like, oh, guys, I know it's a pain in the ass. Can you guys help me move tomorrow, like, around? Like,
I've
like right around dusk?
Before. Maybe I've seen it, like, on a hidden camera show where, like, they get people to help them move things out or something. But
oh, yeah, those are always good. You can convince people to do anything. But then you get in there, and there's all, like, family pictures of someone else's family. Like, huh. And why are we also only taking the jewelry and TVs and all the electronic equipment? You don't want this couch?
I feel like the missing part of the story is that they leave out where all of his friends were also meth addicts, and they were just looking for some money.
Let's keep with the shoplifting theme here.
Shoplifting.
This is good. Authorities say a New Jersey woman made up a story that her granddaughter was missing inside a Walmart so that her son could steal clothes and candy. This is in Egg Harbor Township, New Jersey.
I feel so disappointed, and it's mostly because she had the kid steal candy.
Right.
Like, it's a, you're, like, you can justify.
Candy in Walmart. It's 50 cents. Just buy it. Steal the TV.
Like, you'd be like, look, we're going to steal clothes. Just like, but stealing, like, or even I steal food, but candy. It's like, no, you should be telling, in my brain, I'm sitting there thinking, no, kids shouldn't have candy. You shouldn't be encouraging kids to eat candy. Not you shouldn't be encouraging kids to steal. It's don't encourage sugar. Haven't you seen we have an obesity epidemic in this country?
There's like this is good because I keep finding like one story links to another one. It's getting it might be getting better as we go along here. Anyway, so police in Egg Harbor Township.
Good restaurant.
Good name for a town say that Donna Hall and her son Nicholas Hall were charged after Tuesday's incident. Police say Donna Hall told employees she had last seen the 8-year-old girl in the store's jewelry section. Security guards say they saw Nicholas Hall filling bags with clothes and candy while the store was locked down. Police later determined there was never a missing girl at all. Donna Hall was charged with creating a false public alarm and shoplifting, and Nicholas Hall was charged with shoplifting and drug possession.
When you get caught by the Walmart security, how stupid do you have to be? You can't outsmart those people. Really? Like, just put shit in the cart and just walk out with it. Like, seriously, you just put it in the cart, you walk around the store 2 or 3 times, then just walk out. Nobody's going to catch you. Ever. Just go through the self-checkout, do a little dance or whatever, just leave.
They have those alarms that go off, though, right?
Not on food. No.
It's not.
Like,
if
some of those tags or whatever, maybe, but most things just walk out.
Don't you feel like they're always watching you when you're in a store like that?
I thought that, but I go to Target a lot for food at lunch because there's one right across the street from my office, and they got, like, a cheap sandwich. But, and I always go through the self-checkout to avoid humans, and you just kind of walk out, and I realize, like, I could just, if you just act like you're supposed to walk out, there's enough distance between me and the door for nobody's gonna look and see, is that guy stealing a sandwich? I can just walk out. Now, I don't risk it because that's really, really humiliating. That's not as good as criminal mischief for going to jail. So, yeah, I don't know, man. Just walk out. Just walk out of the fucking store. It has to be really big. It has to be like a big ticket item. Maybe they watch TVs and they don't watch individual sandwiches.
Who was that guy who got caught stealing a sandwich? remember, it was that HBO, Robert Durst? Remember that's how he got bagged? He, like, stole a sandwich from a grocery store and got, like, the 70-year-old who supposedly killed all those people.
Yeah.
Like, his ex-wife and everything. He got caught stealing a sandwich, and then they arrested him, and he had, like, a bunch of guns in his trunk or something.
Again, stupid, man. Stupid is a powerful force in the world.
Hmm. Speaking of dumb, a woman in Louisiana was caught on camera stealing 18 bottles of booze, including one she stuffed down her pants and another inside her bra. A two-minute surveillance video was released by Shreveport police, and it begins with the woman casually grabbing bottles of liquor and putting them into her purse. She then strolls down an aisle while scanning the merchandise and picking up several more bottles, including one she put down her pants. The woman capped off her shoplifting spree by stuffing another bottle into her bra. The footage concludes with the woman putting what appears to be a bottle of wine on the counter before strolling out of the store. The video shows her walking away with one of the bottles clearly protruding from her shirt. Her name was Saccone Jones, 37. She surrendered to police in Shreveport late Thursday morning and was booked on theft charges. She posted on Facebook, "Yes, I'm aware of the news. I hustle. That's what I do. Ain't awesome. Nobody gonna give me shit. So please mind your business and stay out of. So please mind your business and stay out mine."
Oh, first, it's great when you like type Ebonics. Type mind outside mind, whatever. But awesome. I gotta say, I admire the unrepentant. When somebody's just like, "No, fuck you. This is what I do. All right." Like, but that's the right, honestly, that makes sense to me. If you think you've been a victim by the system, fuck it. In fact, if you can get away with stealing shit from, if you can just walk into the store and steal booze, you know she's done it before. Fuck it.
You know what? We do know she's done it before. She has 9 previous shoplifting arrests in the past 9 years. Additional arrests for disturbing the peace, theft, battery, and receiving stolen goods.
So, yeah, this is just a Tuesday.
That nice little Tuesday. Yeah. That was something else. And I think we need to go back to this story we never revisited from several weeks ago. There's been more info on the Mad Pooper in Colorado Springs. The police department there is asking everyone to stop calling them about the Mad Pooper. Apparently, a guy put out a video on YouTube claiming to be the Mad Pooper's spokesperson, and he claimed that she had had head trauma and was going through gender reassignment surgery. That apparently was fake news. He does not even know the woman and later posted an apology and essentially said he was trolling people.
Good for him.
So essentially she has stopped pooping and the cops have not found her yet.
If she poops again, Donald Trump comments on it. it'll really catch on then. And he will not be able to help. He will somehow weigh in on this. Just fucking watch it.
Yeah.
Especially given now that somebody in the world said that she was a tranny. And Trump loves a good conspiracy. He's just going to be out there. What? Look, I heard from people, not just anybody, I heard from people that the person was a transsexual. Now they're trying to, now the liberal media doesn't want to report it. And you know why. You know what that's about. This is bullshit. This is why we can't let them poop in Target, all right? If you let them poop in Target, now look at them. They're pooping on the street. And we're just letting them poop everywhere, and it's all because these PC liberals are just too afraid to say no to a tranny. Well, I'll say no.
The guy in the video claimed that it was her First Amendment rights to be able to poop wherever she wanted or something. Did you see that? Maybe not First Amendment, but he said, like, constitutional right to poop wherever she needed to.
Well,
I'm pretty sure that's not true. I think it's illegal to just drop your pants and poop in public.
maybe in Bernie Sanders America, where everything's regulated. Once upon a time, a man would just walk out in the West and claim a piece of property and take a shit right then and there. If it wasn't satisfying, move on down and take another piece of property. That's how America became fertile. That's how all of our land developed. That's how all of our crops came to be. Good men walking across the West. Good men walking west, shitting everywhere. Little fucking little Johnny Appleseeds with the turds. Little Johnny Turd Seed.
Are you a Curb Your Enthusiasm fan?
I am.
It's back after a 6-year hiatus. Word on the street is this is probably the last season. I believe it debuted this past Sunday, the season premiere. Did you catch it?
I did.
Thoughts?
I didn't think it was that good.
No.
I thought it came across like a guy writing for what he thinks is the character is now, as opposed to him writing a character. It felt like they were forcing him saying pretty, pretty good and all these other things. They just didn't seem natural. It felt like he was a pro wrestler going through the motions, hitting his high spots and getting out. I didn't, you know, it just didn't feel like, it was just too self-aware. And I think Larry David should not be self-aware.
Okay. I mean, there's always been part of that with him, though, in the character, I feel like. But I liked it. I thought it was good. I was glad to have it back, and I felt like he's still willing to go places that most other comedies wouldn't go, whether like the stuff with holding the door open for the lesbian lady. Like that was, I thought that was funny in the whole argument. Yeah. Like I laughed at that.
I was just surprised at the stance he took on that.
What do you mean?
Well, he basically just like said to all the trannies and lesbians out there, like, I don't know what the fuck's going on. You look like a dude. Like,
right.
I'm sorry, but you look like a dude. And you're right. I think it maybe
like there's not a lot of other comedies out there that would go there and say that stuff and like
not in the way that he does. Not with like there may be somebody trying to do it, but they'd be like just ignorantly stupid, whereas his character's like, I'm not trying to do the wrong thing, just look, everybody, that's a dude, that's a bride, that's a groom, I love you both, I don't really care what you do, but let's not lie to ourselves about what's going on here.
And the stuff with the Ayatollah and the musical and
like,
stuff, it's
that's
just like
a little forced to me, like, because he's already done the season long arc where he does stuff on Broadway.
Yeah.
And, like, he had a font. I'm like, it was a little, like, I mean, there's a way to just suspend your disbelief, but then there's, like, really, you can do a play called Fatwa and do all these things, and you then you're surprised when they hate you. You think that it's a real Fatwa? Eh.
All right.
I like the people being, I mean, don't get me wrong, it was still funny. It just wasn't as funny as his prior stuff.
All right. Okay. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm glad it's back. I think it's one of the only shows of its kind out there, unless I'm missing something. And he's not afraid to touch on subjects that most other, like, I don't know if you call it a sitcom, because they say most of it's ad-lib. Like, they wing a lot of it. They don't really have a script. They'll have kind of a outline of what they're going to talk about, and then they kind of just wing it. You can even kind of tell it's that way by how it's shot, like the camera's not steady a lot of the time, and I don't know. We'll see how it goes, but I am glad the show is back, and I look forward to it every week.
Hey, it's either that or whatever Kevin Can Wait or whatever the fuck that is that Kevin James is doing now.
I have no idea what that is, but I won't be watching.
No one else is. Except for Middle America, people that matter, people that grow your food.
That's right. In those flyover states. Anything else going on in your world?
Nope.
Halfguarded.com, got anything coming out?
Maybe.
Sounds like a plan.
It is.
Thank you, listener, for listening this week, and we will be back next week with more MMA and stuff on Halfguarded.com. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
I'm finished.